Welcome to the Progressive Property Podcast, helping you invest in property for freedom, choice, and profit. You'll learn new, innovative, and multiple streams of property income, whether you want to start, scale, or systemize, and even if you don't have deposits.
Hi everyone, Kevin McDonald here, and we've got a really special guest today on Success Stories. So today I'm joined by Ellie Freeman, who she's based in Sussex, but she invests up in the Northeast area. Now, Ellie joined the Progressive VIP program and mentorship program back in towards the end of 2019, and she's been doing some really great stuff in property. So I've invited her on today to talk through her property journey and what she's been up to. So Ellie, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome.
So just for anyone who doesn't know you or hasn't met you yet, do you want to tell us a little bit about what you were doing before property? So like what sort of jobs you had, what life was like, and then I guess how you got interested in property in the first place. So why did you decide property was something you wanted to do?
Okay, so going right back to the beginning, when I was sort of younger, I did think about becoming an architect, and then thought, oh, 7 years at uni, no, don't think I'll do that. And another passion of mine was food, so I actually trained for 3 years to be a professional chef. And then in my early 20s, with my then husband, we opened a restaurant. So I was 25 when we opened an award-winning restaurant. Unfortunately, we opened at the wrong time, and we kept it going for 6 years, but we ended up losing the business. Then in the meantime, I'd had two children, was pregnant with my third, and eventually had four, all in the space of 5 years. So it was a bit of a madhouse.
I've got two, Ellie, two in 4 years, and it's crazy. So I don't know how that
honestly, it was complete madhouse and still is, to be honest, when they all come back together. Four kids. Obviously, both husband and I were chefs, and that wasn't going to work because who would look after the kids when you're doing split shifts and working every evening? And as I say, I'd always had a bit of a passion about property, architecture, and interior design. So I retrained as an interior designer. And while I was at college, I met a girl and we set up our business. And we had an interior design business for 11 years, I think it was. And that was just sort of running part-time alongside having the kids, obviously. She had one daughter who was younger than mine. So when my children got to the age where I was sort of really ready to put more into the business, she just sort of got to the point where she wanted to spend more time with her daughter. So at that point, I was never very confident in myself, probably. And because she was the one who used to bring in the custom, she was the sort of sales side of things. I didn't feel confident that I could actually do that myself. So we folded the business, and I did a few other things. I was a consultant for a washable nappy company, all sorts of little things. And then in the meantime, I got divorced, remarried, and what happened next? So once we remarried, we'd got two mortgages because my husband is a Geordie, hence the Northeast for my investment area. And he moved down and we became accidental landlords with his property. And as I say, it had always been an interest of mine anyway. So I sort of started looking into it, started doing a little bit of self-educating and that sort of thing. So that's sort of the work that I've done prior to actually kickstarting my property business.
So a lot of people actually start very similar to that, which is like accidental landlord to get their first property. And then, what they then do typically, Ellie, is that's as far as they get. They just do that first property and they never get the next one. So you've got this property up in the Northeast, you're living down in Sussex, your husband's moved down, you just rented it out as a single let?
Yeah. Actually, it's family.
Okay, so you then joined did you join the VIP program? When was that? In October 19, is it?
Yeah, so that was October 19. So we had that property, and then as I say, I was working still back in catering. So I was head chef of a restaurant. And I actually got ill, ended up in hospital. I started losing my balance and I ended up in hospital. And after an MRI scan, they found that I got a brain condition. And I was off work for about a month because I couldn't actually stand up without falling over. And it was at that point where I was sort of lying on the sofa thinking, oh, what am I going to do? I can't, at that point, I can't drive. I definitely can't stand up in a kitchen in front of a hot stove and use knives. What on earth am I going to do? And that's when I started sort of really thinking, right, I've got to think of something else. And I had, as I said, I had already started sort of educating myself anyway on property. To throw another spanner into the works, my mum had been diagnosed in 2011 with Alzheimer's, and she was we've moved her down closer to me. So I was working, but I was also, although she was in a home because she'd had a stroke as well, I was sort of with her sort of forward whenever I wasn't working. Basically, I was with her trying to sort of keep her as happy as possible. So it was all a bit mad. But I really sort of thought, right, I've really got to start thinking about a different career path now because I'm not going to be able to carry on in catering. So that's when I really started to sort of ramp up the self-education. When mum passed away, I was left a small inheritance, which was sort of like, okay, right, this is where I've really got to do it now. And so once all that money came through, that was sort of 2018. So I set my business up in the October of 2018, and did the usual. I've got to get all my ducks in a row. I've got to get my business card, got to do all of that, got to get everything ready. Can't actually do anything yet because I've got to get everything ready. Did the usual procrastinating for about 6 months, like viewing lots of properties, but not actually doing anything. And then I think my husband said, and I told everybody because I was still working, I'd actually managed to get well enough to go back to work, but I was just doing part time. And sort of people at work, I told them, oh, yeah, I'm going to do property now. And then one day I think my husband just said to me, oh, for God's sake, just buy something. And that was just sort of like that. Oh, right. Okay. Actually, I really have got to now because I've told people,
Yeah.
And it's the accountability thing. It's like, it really makes it real. Yeah. I can't really lose face on this. And that's when I got my first one. So I got that. So I started the business in the October and then I'd got the keys to my first one in the May.
Awesome.
And I thought that I knew enough, but I also knew that I needed to know more if I really wanted to make this my business. And I actually did a 3-day course with another provider who shall remain nameless. It verged on unethical to me, the way they were pushing very expensive courses. So I didn't go any further with them. And, I've been looking around and I think you popped up on social media or, somewhere along the line you'd popped up. So I started looking into Progressive signed up in the October.
So you had your accidental landlord house, your husband's property in Newcastle, or in the Northeast. Yep. You'd bought your next one in the May, so you're on two at this stage, and then October 19 you joined the VIP programs. You had two before you joined.
Yes.
Okay, and then you've joined obviously October 19, about 4 months before a global pandemic.
Yeah.
So, for many people and many people over the last 12, 18 months, they've kind of stopped and done nothing, waiting for the world to fix itself.
Yeah.
While they've been stopped doing nothing, waiting for the world to fix themselves, what have you been up to? So what sort of deals have you done?
Yeah. So basically, the first one was rented out and that was lovely. So I started the refinance of that one. And it was actually, I got a deal through my broker who was one of his other clients was selling off part of his portfolio because he was going through a divorce. And they were in the Northeast, and he said, "Oh, would you be interested?" So I had a look at it, and it was 3 two-bed terraced houses in the colliery villages in County Durham. So quite deprived areas, very low value properties. And I thought, so it was going to be universal credit tenants. So I was like, I don't really know much about this. Don't really know much about this. And then I remembered previously when I'd been trying to build up my networking in the Northeast, which used to terrify me, I have to say, hated it to start with. I met a woman, and that's what she specialised in. So she's a letting agent, and she specialises in universal credit tenants, that sort of demographic. So I gave her a call, and she said, "Yeah, come up. We'll go and view them together, and I can let you know whether they're lettable, you know, whether we can do something with them." So she came with me, complete with drill to take off the boarding off the empty property, and we had a look around. So one of them had been empty for 5 years, so that was pretty much back to brick refurbishment. The other two actually had tenants in. So we went and had a look at all three, and she said, "Yeah, that's, you know, we can rent these out, you know, as long as you understand it's going to be universal credit tenants," which I was okay with. And so decided, yeah, okay, I've got somebody who knows the areas really, really well, knows tenants, knows all the tricks that they try and play not to pay their rent. But what I really liked about her is she looks after me, but she looks after my tenants as well. She's one of these letting agents who, you know, if somebody doesn't pay their rent, she doesn't just leave it and then you're in court. She will be straight there, like literally on their doorstep, saying, "Okay, what's happening?" She'll find out if there's a benefit that they're not claiming that they could be claiming, or, you know, if it's a drug issue or whatever. She's, you know, she's rehoused people in different properties to help them. So that's what I really liked about her. So decided, okay, I'm going to go for it. So this was, for the three properties, 55K.
Each or total?
No, total.
Yeah.
For three properties. So decided, okay, I've got my letting agent on board. I mean, I know the area a little bit anyway, because obviously my husband's from that way. And decided to go for it. So we started the process. Then COVID hit. And I was like, oh, God. And, you know, when we were all sitting there at home thinking, oh, yeah, it's going to be about 3 weeks. That'll be fine. And then we'll be back at work and we'll be doing everything. Anyway, obviously, as we know now, that didn't happen. So about 5 weeks in, I thought, oh, what do I do? Do I pull out of this? Do I carry on? Will I be able to get build teams in there? You know, what do I do? And at that point, I just thought, also, I was buying on an exchange delay completion. So I'd have key access so that I could get the empty one refurbished before I actually completed. And so that was a little bit of a worry with the banks, like, pulling out lots of their products and stuff. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to hold on to cash just in case.
Just Ellie, on that, for anyone who's watching the video and you're wondering what an EDC is, an exchange with delayed completion, is literally you can agree with a lot of owners, especially landlords, to exchange contracts on the purchase. So you're legally bound to buy, they're legally bound to sell. They'll give you, an estate agent would call it a keys undertaking. So they give you the keys to allow you to enter the property. You can do your refurbishment while you're in between exchange and completion. Now, normally a completion might happen within 7 days of exchange, but you can delay that completion until you've got the works done. So it's a really good way of getting into a property early, saving some time. So how long did he give you for the delayed completion, Ellie?
So I had 3 months.
Okay, great. Sorry, so keep going. Fine without COVID, right?
Yeah. So I thought, okay, we should be all right on that. And Nikki had got a builder or a build team that she uses on those sorts of properties for other landlords that she has. So I'd got the builder. So I thought, okay, should be okay. Anyway, so I decided to go for it through COVID, decided not to pull out and decided to go for it. And it has been a roller coaster, I have to say. You know, couldn't get building materials, couldn't get plaster for love nor money. B&Q, I think, you know, all everybody, plasterers, builders were, you know, sending people off in different vans to B&Q and Wickes and Travis Perkins and everybody, just, you know, because they could only get 10 bags in each place. So everybody was out trying to get the plaster. B&Q ended up selling dust or whatever it is, the trades call it, as plaster. But actually, it wasn't plaster. Basically, it was easy fill. So that caused an issue because they put it on the wall and were like, well, this isn't right. Then the builders got COVID. So the whole team, like dominoes, went down with COVID. So we lost a few weeks there. So it was getting a bit touch and go as to whether I was going to be able to refinance, or not refinance, but finance, get a lender on board to complete in the September. I had two lenders pull out. So, you know, agree in principle and then pull out. Then the last one was about a week before completion. So thankfully, I'd held on to that cash. So in the end, I bought in cash. And you know, it would have been nice to have had that money to be able to be doing something else at the same time. But I'm really glad that I held on to it because it, you know, it got me out of a sticky patch. So in the September, bought them in cash. In between exchange and completion, the two lots of tenants that were in the other houses both did runners, one of them leaving all of their belongings. The other one, they took their belongings, but the place was filthy. And because of COVID, we couldn't get any more build teams. And the build team that I was using already had got five lined up after that one. So I wasn't going to be able to use him on the others. So actually, my husband and I refurbed the other two, which weren't in such bad condition, and I know that, you know, you're not supposed to. And I know that, you know, you're supposed to leverage it all out. But I actually quite enjoy doing it. So, and I've got quite a lot of experience of
I actually things. I say to people, it's a really good practice to do things like drop some leaflets yourself, do some letters yourself. Do a refurb yourself. Just don't do all of them yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you do one yourself, and some people do enjoy it. And there's times in a property business. And one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on today as well is a lot of the time, and a lot of people, they say property is all about, you just buy a house and everything's great and you make a load of money. But it's the challenges in the middle that are important. The things that make it the real life stuff of, you know, not being able to get plaster and builders running off and tenants leaving the house. And then it's how you persevere through that. And that's what our audience want to hear as well, is the real side of property. And then I guess the final question they want to hear out of all of that, and we'll keep going into a little bit more of this, is would you still do it all again?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. See, a lot of people are put off, Ellie, by the fear of all the stuff you've just discussed and going, oh, this could go wrong. But interestingly, anyone who's ever gone through it always says they'd do it again. And what would you say to anyone who's thinking, listening to what you've just said now, going, oh my God, property, oh, that sounds crazy, I don't want to do that. What would you say to them in terms of, I'm going to look at the numbers with you in a moment, but first of all, just more about the mindset. Are they, should they worry about the stuff you've had to go through, or should they just grasp it and do it anyway?
I think if you're the right personality, just grasp it. If you're somebody who gets very anxious and stresses, then maybe don't do something quite so tricky. You know, I mean, there were a lot of elements in there that could go wrong. Mean,
you've done an exchange with delayed completion.
Yeah.
A portfolio 400 miles away.
350 miles away.
350 miles away.
Yeah.
In the middle of a lockdown. With no build teams or materials universal credit tenants in a colliery town in County Durham. I mean, you couldn't probably
have chosen.
It's
everything that you shouldn't do. I've done everything that you shouldn't do.
Yeah, brilliant.
But what I mean, an amazing learning curve, absolutely amazing learning curve. I mean, I also had, the property that the builders were working on, we just got the kitchen in, as in the premises, ready to be fitted. And some scally went in and nicked the whole lot. So nicked the kitchen, nicked all the builders, you know, space heater, his ladders, all the materials that were sitting in there, all got nicked. So, you know, but what can you do? You can't, what's the point in either worrying about those things are going to happen, because they may not.
Yeah.
And if it does happen, just find a solution and crack on, because what's the other option? So, that you just go to pieces, you know?
You lost materials. You've obviously had the house broken into, you've lost material. You've had done it in a pandemic. You've had to travel up and down, stay up there. Then, I mean, if I'm listening to this, I'm thinking, oh my God, how much money did you lose on these projects? So let's look at the numbers. So have you refinanced them now? Have you got mortgages on
them? I have now. I've refinanced, and that was traumatic as well.
are all three rented?
Yes,
they are. Yeah, so what does each one rent for? Overall, what's the rent from the three properties?
So the rental for the three is $1,250, I think.
$1,250. Yeah. And what's the three mortgages?
$290.
Total.
Total. But there's a story in that as well.
we'll come to that in a moment. So after your management fees, your maintenance, your monthly costs, what's your monthly profit from the three properties?
Do you know what? I haven't redone it, because this literally in the last week, everything changed.
Right. So before a week ago, what was your monthly profit?
It was going to be around about monthly on the all three was about 550, I think.
550, right. And do you think it's going to be a bit more or a bit less now?
So it should be a bit more, because the mortgage payment has come down, yeah.
Excellent. So it was 550, it's going to go up a bit more.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. On the refinance, we look at two things. For anybody watching this, we look at two things in terms of numbers. One is how much money you've left in, and then what's the return on that capital that's employed, that's left in. So how much money have you left in, Ellie, from the three deals?
So now, and this was, as I say, this just happened in the last week, I've got 22 left in.
If you had 22 grand left in a bank account, how much interest would you get on that money?
Oh, pennies.
Pennies. And with literally 22 pennies. Grand, 22 grand left in these three houses, and you're making, you said 550, but a bit more now. So what, about 600 a month?
So it should be, hopefully, yeah.
So let's say 600 a month for 12 months is 7,200. So to work out a return on capital employed, for anyone listening that's new to property, it's the annual profit. So 7,200 divided by the 22,000. So you're looking at over 30% return on your money?
Yeah. Yeah. So, potentially. Yeah. I mean, I've come in a little bit blind here today, because like I say, it has all just changed. So basically, when I worked my figures out initially, I was thinking that I was going to be on about 40% ROI.
Right.
And then when I got the valuation, which I'll tell you about, I thought, yes, I'm leaving 2 grand in. It's a pretty much infinite return. But then the lenders, again, changed their mind. So I'm now on about... So actually, maybe those figures I've given you are slightly out, because I think my final ROI is 15 point something.
Okay.
Which is still great. It's just a bit of a shock after you thinking that you've, you know, got all your money up. But there you go.
So are you looking at how have you calculated your ROI? Because return on investment is often different to return on capital employed. So they're two separate calculations in terms of. Yeah. So in a return on capital employed calculation, it's money annual profit divided by money left in. Yeah. While return on capital employed can often be calculated where people are calculated against total money spent. So it's a
So I do tend to do ROI.
Right, which is on total money spent. Yeah. So your return on investment is probably 15%, but your return on capital employed might be higher.
Yeah.
In terms of how hard the money left in is working for you. But either way, 15% plus return is still pretty huge, pretty good.
Yeah. And especially at the moment with the market as it is. Yeah.
So you've done those three projects. You've got them done now. They're rented out. It's almost now parked. You've got somebody managing them. You've got cash flow for the rest of your life. There'll be the odd maintenance issue. There'll be bits and pieces to be done on them, but it's $550 to $650 or whatever cash flow a month. What else have you done? Have you just stopped? Have you rest on? Is that it?
No. So with the market being so mad at the moment and living 350 miles away, I've made the decision to use sourcing agents for the time being. Because I literally can't get up in time to view things. So I've now got another one going through legals, which I'm purchasing through a sourcing agent, which is in Newcastle, which is in NE5.
Right. Now, your sourcing agent, did you find them within the progressive community? Or did you find them elsewhere?
No, not that one. Some have come through. I've been talking to lots. Right. And there are several that are looking out for me, but some are within Progressive and some aren't. Mm. This one isn't.
One of the key things here is for people watching that are trying to do property that are alone, how important has community been to you and meeting other people and networking with those people?
Oh, massive. Absolutely massive. And I honestly, if I hadn't done formal education, if I hadn't come to Progressive, I know that I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now, because the networking with other people on your course and then the sort of, you know, spider's web that goes out from that, you know, because they've all got their networks and the friendliness and the willingness to share their knowledge and networks and, you know, and everything. It's just been amazing, really. And I really don't think I would be where I am.
Obviously on the VIP mentorship program, you've got access to mentors and stuff. How has that helped you?
That's been great, actually. So because we have like the selection, a whole selection, I've had three or four different ones that I've used over the time that I've been there, but obviously a lot of the time we haven't been able to be in the room because of COVID. And I've sort of stuck with one more than others. But the fact that I know, like at the moment, I've started on a big development project, working sort of trying to start that all off with a woman. I know that if I've got a big development problem or question, I know that next time I could book in with a different mentor, and that's their speciality.
Yeah, because there's a mentor for every speciality. Yeah. So if you've got a single let 1 month, you look at the single let mentor. If you've got a serviced accommodation, development. So that is one of the powerful things about it. But the development. So you were going to talk about your next project. Is that the development or is that another one? Have you got development plus something else or what else have you got?
No. So I've got the two bedrooms. Semi going through legals at the moment, which was through the sourcer. And then just via a Facebook post, because also with the colliery cottages, I work with my letting agent and the council, and we work together to house vulnerable people. So people who are desperately in need of housing. So two of my tenants are domestic abuse survivors, and one couple were hounded out of their house by antisocial behaviour. And I love that. I absolutely love that side of it. I would really like to do more of that. And I have actually connected with a non-profit organisation in Durham who house young adults at risk of being homeless or care leavers. So I actually put a post out on social media to say, right, this is the sort of thing that I will be looking for next. And, you know, or what would be quite good would be a freehold of 2-3 one-bedroom flats, because that's the sort of thing that particular organisation look for. And a woman got in contact with me and she said, oh, I don't know if this will be of interest. But, you know, I just thought I'd sort of, you know, I've seen your Facebook posts and what have you. So I just thought I'd get in contact and see if we could take it anywhere. And that was for a property in Sunderland, which was mixed use, commercial on the ground floor, and that was 11, I think that was 11 apartments. And she sort of told me all about it. And I said, look, can I be completely honest? And this was my little chimp coming into my brain again. This is completely out of my league. And she said, well, you know, the thing is, she said, I've done a lot of business coaching, and we can sort of talk through ways that will make it easier, or, you know, see how we can work out a deal and this sort of thing. So I thought, well, what have I got to lose? I'll go and have a look at it. So went to have a look. And also Derek, my mentor, said, you know, you're either going to earn from it or you're going to learn from it. So go for it. So went up and had a look. But this one was one that she had developed before. So it was all up and done, ready, you know. And I thought, well, this isn't really for me. You know, I'd want to be able to add value and, you know, for investors, because I will need investors for this. You know, I need to be able to add value. So we got chatting, and he said, oh, well, I'll show you the other projects I've got on the go as well. And she's got another one, which is one commercial unit on the bottom. And then, so basically she's the developer. So it's not her property. She's the developer, and she's got a relationship with the owner. And that will be developed into 14 apartments. And that will be two floors that are already there, and then building in the airspace, developing the airspace. So that's what I'm looking at the moment, which is, for me, massive. But talking through with Derek, you know, he's very much like, no, this is not too big for you. And so he's been helping. And I had another meeting yesterday with the woman, and hopefully, fingers crossed, we can sort of between us pull it off, which would be awesome. Absolutely massive for me. Obviously, you know, going from buying two bedroom houses for 55K to something in the millions, you know, it's a bit daunting, but it's exciting at the same time. And so I mean, if I hadn't done proper education, there was absolutely, I mean, you know, it wouldn't have fallen in my lap, but also, I mean, I would never, ever, ever have thought about doing anything like that.
So you've got your accidental landlord house from your husband when you moved down south. Mm-hmm. You got your first buy to let, then you did your three properties in the colliery villages to get mm-hmm. you to five. Then mm-hmm. you've got the one you're buying off a sourcer to get you six, and yeah. this development as well.
Yeah, if it comes off.
So and in the middle of a global pandemic, well done. That's phenomenal. What's next for Ellie? So as well as this development, if it comes off, where do you see? Have you got an end game? Have you got an exit plan? Or is this just I'm having fun? I'm going to see where it takes me.
So my 3-year goal, which I set, so I do my goals at the beginning of the year. My 3-year goal basically was to earn $3,500 a month by the end of 3 years. And that basically, and I don't want this to sound sort of maudlin or anything, but with my mum having been in a care home because of her Alzheimer's and her stroke, I know how much that costs. And should I get Alzheimer's, or should my brain condition get worse or whatever, I don't want my kids to have to worry as to whether I can be put in a nice home or a horrible home. You know, so I want to have enough, as close as it can be, to passive income coming in to be able to cover that. So sort of the 3-year goal was to get to sort of 3,500, and then 5 years would be to sort of take it further, because obviously these fees are really expensive. If I don't have to go in a home, lovely, I'm quids in, you know, I'll have a nice retirement pot. Not that I really think about retiring, to be honest, because I love what I do. But yeah, so that's the sort of goal. It's not in my plan to sort of sell things off.
I have a feeling, Ellie, I have a feeling that you're going to be buying the retirement home.
Oh God.
you can make it look anything you like. Anyway, it's really, really great to have you come on and talk through your journey. And it's going to be really inspirational for people who are listening in and worried about the challenge of getting started, worried about, you know, because I know you still do some chefing as well as the property and the traveling. Yeah. And worrying about, can they juggle both and this sort of stuff. So it's really, really inspiring story. I've loved what you've shared. What, just because obviously I'm conscious of your time, and I've not even realized, but we've been speaking for like 35 plus minutes already.
Oh, my gosh.
20-minute interviews usually. This is,
I told you I could talk.
Yeah, but I've been just sitting here listening to your story, and it's awesome. So, and I know the audience are going to love it. So, but just to, as a sort of a finish up, what would you say to people who are sort of thinking, you know, that they're in a job, they're maybe they want to make a change. They want to get to, some people want to take over the world. Some people want to get to 10, 20 grand a month. Some people just want to get to 3 grand a month. What would you say to anyone who's just thinking, can they make that change? Do they need to be full-time in property to make, because a lot of people think they need to be full-time to make it work, or can they do it part-time? So what sort of thoughts now that you're sort of 18 months into that journey, what would you say to people who are sort of unsure?
Yeah. I think you can definitely do it with a job. I mean, if you're in a full-time corporate job, as is always bandied about, it will be hard. I'm sure it will be hard, because it will be, your lunch breaks where you're calling the estate agents or the sources or whatever, and trying to print off your legal documents and all of that sort of thing. And it will be hard. It's not going to be easy. But at some point, you'll get to the point where you'll either, if your job allows, be able to cut your hours down and put more time into property. Or you'll get to the point where you take the leap and say, okay, I'm now at a point where I can do it. I can go full time. I mean, I'm hoping to go full time because we are actually going to move up to the northeast, hopefully by the beginning of next year. We're going to put our house into serviced accommodation and move up. And at that point, obviously, I will leave my job. And so that will be the point where I go into it full time. I mean, even now I'm thinking, oh, do I do it full time? And it may be that if this big development project comes off or that starts rolling, then I may have to leap sooner than I'm envisaging. But yeah, I mean, if you can do that gradual, for me, that's the ideal, because then you're not taking that massive risk. And it depends where you are in your life. You might be living at home with your mum and dad. You know, you might be early 20s living at home with your mum and dad. You've not got a mortgage. You've not got kids. You've not got all the overhead. So it might be that you can do it full time quicker. You know, it does sort of depend on your circumstances. But most definitely you can start off while you're in your normal job. Definitely.
You pretty much explained what I did there, Ellie, because I was full time in a corporate job. And I went, I rang the agents in the lunch breaks. I was reminiscing. Yeah. I did my viewings in the evenings. I then went 3 days a week, and then I gave myself 6 months, and then I went full time. It was exactly what you've just said. And it works. You got to work hard enough to not have to work hard. So, Ellie, really appreciate you coming on. Really, really great interview. Really inspiring. I'm going to be watching your journey a little bit closer now to see what's next. I'm excited about this development project.
Oh, no. And no, I've got to pull it off.
You have to pull it off now. You've told us
all. I know. So,
and the move to the northeast as well, to take over the northeast of England. The northeast better be careful because they don't know what's coming. So, so appreciate you coming on. Thanks, Jamie. To the Progressive Success Stories. I've been Kevin McDonald. She's been Ellie Freeman. You've been absolutely awesome. See you next time.
Are you ready for a revolution? Look no further, as Progressive Property, Britain's number one property education company, is hosting a Property Revolution Summit. And you're officially invited. 3 days of content to help you start and scale your property portfolio. Trained by professionals, you will learn the strategies you need to thrive in property. Plus, you will meet like-minded people that could lead to endless opportunities. Go to bit.ly/PRSPNPOD. So that's bit.ly/PRSPNPOD. Or click in the link in the descriptions to sign up now.